In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are looking at Lesson 72 of My Catholic Faith, Protestant Churches. We have an image of Martin Luther burning the church books, it appears. The caption reads, "Upon Martin Luther's refusal to retract his declarations on the teachings of the church, he was excommunicated. But Luther proudly tore up the papal bull of excommunication and burned it. The fire that incident started has not yet burned down." Who are the Protestants? In general, Protestants are adherents of the religious organizations that broke off from the Catholic Church in the 16th century, or of any religious body formed from them. The term Protestant was first given to those who protested against the decree of the Second Diet of Speyer in 1529. Later, the term was applied to all reformers, all opposing the doctrines of the Church. Even today, the term is included in the new formula of the Declaration of Faith that the King of England must make at his coronation. He says, quote, "I declare that I am a faithful Protestant." In the 16th century, the Protestant revolt took place. This beginning of a multitude of heresies, this sad event that has divided Christendom for centuries. Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk of Erfurt, taking offense at what he believed was a lack of appreciation for him at Rome, combated the teaching of the Church on indulgences in the year 1517. The Pope commanded Luther to retract his teachings. Upon his refusal, he was excommunicated. In 1520, his heretical teaching spread like wildfire over Germany, occasioning religious wars. Peace came only with the Peace of Augsburg in 1555. The Council of Trent met 1545 to 1563 to set forth in a clear manner the errors of the Protestants by explaining the true doctrine of the Church on those points. At that time, religious training had relaxed. Many did not know the true doctrines. Among the errors of Luther were these: that there is no supreme teaching power in the Church, that temporal rulers have the right to interfere in ecclesiastical matters, that the Bible is the sole guide to faith, that every man should interpret the Bible according to his own mind, that faith is sufficient for salvation, that the priesthood does not imprint a special character on the soul of a man, and that everybody is or can be a priest. As a result, that confession is not a sacrament, but a mere invention of the Church, that the Mass gives no special grace, that there is no purgatory, etc. In the beginning, Protestantism spread rapidly. Whole countries, led by their rulers, adopted its doctrines. In Switzerland, Zwingli and Calvin, in England, Henry VIII, about this time increased the defections from the Church, but soon there were other kinds of Protestantism. Today, the divisions and subdivisions of Protestantism are too well known to need comment. Great numbers of Protestants are returning to the faith of their fathers. Meanwhile, as the divisions subdivide, the Church continues to grow. How may Protestant denominations be grouped? Protestant denominations may be placed into three groups. First, those requiring that a church be able to trace its origin to apostolic times. They believe in a priesthood established by Christ and commanded to offer sacrifice and administer the sacraments. The High Church Episcopalians belong to this group. Unfortunately, The High Church Episcopalians deny a fact. Their succession of bishops was cut when they separated from the Catholic Church, and so they have no valid orders. Hence, they cannot have any sacraments except baptism and matrimony. The Anglican orders were declared invalid under Pope Leo XIII in 1896, after the question of their validity had been thoroughly examined. Second, those who, although not believing in the theory of all religions are the same, do not have an organized hierarchy. They insist on their own brand of Protestantism, requiring prospective members to study their doctrines. They consider Holy Scripture as the only rule of faith and of life. Some of them accept the Apostles' Creed and teach justification by faith alone. Lutherans and some bodies of Methodist and Episcopal churches belong to this group. Third, those who declare Christ their personal Savior and believe in baptism as indispensable, although some bodies do not hold the latter doctrine, every Christian, according to them, must be a member of some church on account of the practical benefits from church membership from organized religion, but one church is just as good as another. To this group, most of the bodies of Baptist, Presbyterians, Disciples of Christ, and Congregationalist belong. Okay, then there's quite a lengthy list here of men who have, I guess men and women, who have converted from Protestantism to the Church. And I won't read all the names there, but the description I will. The Church for Every Man. It is often said that the Catholic Church is the Church of the ignorant. Perhaps, but below is a partial list of the many brilliant literary people who in recent times have been converted into the Catholic Church in adult life with their eyes wide open. The Catholic Church is the Church of the ignorant. It is the Church of the wise. The Catholic Church is the Church for every man, whatever his race, color, economic condition, education. For in the Church there is not Gentile and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, slave and free man, but Christ is all things in all. From Colossians 3:11. Christ came to redeem all men. The Church is his living voice, his mystical body. Let us obey. And then there follows, as I mentioned, that list of names of individuals who have converted and from Protestantism to the Catholic faith. And again, this book is copyrighted 1949, so it is perhaps a little bit dated. We need to recall that Protestantism is different from the schismatics that we saw in the last lesson. The schismatics still generally retain valid sacraments, valid orders to the priesthood, valid sacraments. The Protestants, in rejecting the doctrine, the very source of these sacraments, the graces of these sacraments, no longer have these valid sacraments. And many of them do not even pretend to have a priesthood or these sacraments that Christ has instituted. The exception to that appears to be, I guess, the High Church of the Episcopalians, who have an alleged priesthood and bishops, and in England they have what would appear very similar to the Catholic Church, but as we just read, Pope Leo XIII in 1896, after a lot of debate whether the Anglicans had valid orders or not, the Pope clearly declared that the Anglican orders are invalid due to a lack of form. They changed the formula, the wording, and a lack of intention, that they no longer intended to have a priesthood that would offer sacrifice and all that Christ had instituted for the priesthood to continue. So there is that distinction, and there is I don't know if I should use the term wondrous, but wondrous, I guess, in its original meaning, not as something that is good, but as something that is shocking or Again, use the word awesome, but again, awesome tends to have a positive connotation, but I don't want to use that positive connotation, but it is something that is expressive. It is very important for us to pay attention to. And the Vatican II, I often point out that the Vatican II is really a Protestant church, and they basically have undermined the Catholic doctrine and have become Protestant. I know that the beginning of Vatican II, the intentions perhaps were very good, but they were hijacked along the way somehow, because the Church has always sent out missionaries and has sought the conversion of peoples and to bring all men to Christ, and that is the Church's mission. And so the Church is eager to reclaim these souls that have wandered in Protestantism, to bring back those in schism. And with the alleged Council of Vatican II, that was the, the proposed intention, if you will. Who had good intentions and who did not, I will leave that for God to judge. But it seems that, at least from my perspective, most of the bishops there at that council were indifferent or careless, and were just going along to get along there, when they should have been paying closer attention to what was taking place. But it seems to me that Vatican II, they tried to make themselves more Protestants so as to welcome the Protestants, where Luther and those who objected to the sacrifice of the Mass, Vatican II, it seems to me, changed the Mass so that it would be less offensive. They no longer referred to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but a memorial meal. They referred to the Mass as the Last Supper, as opposed to the sacrifice of Calvary. And thus it was less offensive to Protestant ears and more welcoming to them. And again, with all the sacraments, this priesthood, they changed the rite of ordination. I can't remember the exact wording, but I know Bishop Lewis looked up that and wrote about it several years ago, that they ordain a minister as opposed to a sacrificing priest, because they want to get that idea of sacrifice out of the way, because that is a stumbling block to all these Protestants. And I think the big mistake is trying to make the Church acceptable to Protestants when we needed to convert the Protestants into the Catholic Church. When we teach the children the catechism, we teach them that we must believe all that the Catholic Church teaches, because it is God who has revealed it to us. So we cannot change even one thing. To deny one doctrine is to basically deny them all. And it seems that those at Vatican II had forgotten or overlooked that simple basic truth that we teach the children in catechism class. And they set about to either outright deny the doctrines of the sacraments and the Mass, or to water them down, or to just ignore them and not speak of them, so that the Protestants would feel welcome in the Church. And I've met many who say that after Vatican II, they had no problem. They couldn't even distinguish between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church that they attend, that they were basically the same. And that, I think, is the big problem. Rather than converting these individuals, the Church entered the camp of the Protestants, or the would-be Church entered the camp of the Protestants. I say would-be Church because that is no longer the Church. Once they accepted these false doctrines, have denied the true doctrine, have changed the rite of ordination, they changed the matter and form of ordination that Pope Leo XIII said invalidated the Anglican orders, because they changed the form and the intention. The form and the intention, when they changed that, they invalidated the sacrament. So the Anglicans changed the form and the intention, and it seems to me that Vatican II has done exactly the same. And so it is no longer the Catholic Church, even though they use the name Catholic, it is a Protestant denomination. So I think that's all that I have for now. We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.